Substitute Friday appears leader says June 14 presidential elections in Iran prove the fake nature of claims on occurrence of fraud in 2009 election. Iran congratulates neighboring Iraq on the easing of the United Nations sanctions imposed on Baghdad. Russia slams Western efforts to supply more arms to Syrian insurgents. Turkish police arrests four more protesters as anti-government rallies continue in the capital, Ankara. And clashes between supporters and opponents of President Morsi continue across Egypt. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of IRINN English News with me, Nima Chitsaz. The Iranian national volleyball players early on Saturday defeated eight-time World League champion Italy 3-1 in an intense fight over points in the Italian city of Modena. The Iranian national squad defeated the Italian side in the first and second games, but could not win the third game. However, the Iranian players returned to the fourth game with more determination to win it 32-30. Now, the substitute Friday prayers leader of Tehran says the June 14 presidential elections in Iran not only disheartened the enemy, but also proved the fake nature of claims and occurrence of fraud in 2009 elections. Addressing thousands of Friday prayers worshippers, Hojatul Islam Sadiqi added that the sworn enemies of the Islamic Revolution resorted to complicated methods in a bid to turn the great opportunity of elections into another big threat and a new challenge against the Islamic Republic. However, the Almighty Allah did not permit the enemies of this nation to get happy with their vicious plots. He underlined that God Almighty turned this election into another scene of His immense might, and the Iranians also showed that they deserved this divine blessing. Elsewhere, Hujjatul Islam said that he referred to the illuminating comments of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, during the election campaign, saying, "The leader injected farsightedness in the nation's brains, and with his highly awakening comments, made this political epic's creation possible." Iran congratulated neighboring Iraq on the easing of the United Nations sanctions imposed on Baghdad more than two decades ago. On Thursday, the UN Security Council voted unanimously to remove Iraq from Chapter 7 of the UN Charter and lift the UN sanctions imposed on Baghdad following the 1990 invasion of Kuwait by the executed dictator Saddam Hussein. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister for Arab and African Affairs on Friday congratulated the important event to the Iraqi government and nation. Hossein Amir Abdullahian said, "The easing of sanctions is an indication of the responsible performance of the Iraqi government in handling the country's issues with its neighbors lingering from the previous regime." Chapter 7 of the UN Charter authorizes the Security Council to allow sanctions or military intervention if countries do not meet UN demands. The Iranian official said the Security Council's decision would positively affect Iraq's political status. Russian Foreign Minister on Friday slammed Western efforts to supply more arms to Syrian insurgents as a bid to regain lost ground before the Geneva conference, saying the scheme contradicts the very essence of the peace talks. Speaking at a press conference in the Moroccan capital of Rabat, Sergei Lavrov said the activities aimed at providing weapons to the opposition, which have recently intensified, only mean that the precondition set by the foreign-backed militants, which is to restore a balance of power on the battleground, is supported by the West. He added that this contradicts the very concept of the conference, which is to begin without any preconditions.
The opposition, which is supported by the West and other countries in the region, have announced that they are not going to the conference as long as the regime does not agree to surrender and let the opposition regain grounds lost in the battlefields. Taking this into account, the pumping in of weapons to the opposition can only mean this is a condition supported by the West and other allied countries which plan to give such weapons to the opposition. This contradicts the concept of the conference, which should take place without preconditions.
A man has been shot and killed, and some 10 people have been injured in the Egyptian port city of Alexandria during clashes between supporters and opponents of President Mohamed Morsi. The clashes erupted on Friday after thousands of demonstrators poured into the streets of Alexandria and the Nile Delta city of Mansoura and in the capital city of Port Said. A large number of opposition protesters and supporters of the ruling Muslim Brotherhood were also gathering in Cairo and other towns and cities. The government has deployed thousands of troops in Cairo and other 10 cities, with the ruling party blaming the opposition groups for the ongoing violence across the country. Supporters and opponents of the president have been clashing with each other during recent demonstrations across the North African country. Hundreds of demonstrators marched in Pretoria on Friday to protest against Barack Obama's visit to South Africa. Hours before Obama was to arrive in Johannesburg, protesters gathered outside a U.S. embassy and burned the U.S. flag.
Mandela valued human life. Mandela valued due process. Mandela would condemn extraterritorial and extrajudicial killings. Mandela would condemn drone attacks, civilian deaths. He cannot be Mandela's hero. He cannot be on that list. He must remove himself from that list.
There's a lot for Mr. Barack Obama to learn about leadership. Maybe he needs to be imprisoned for 27 years, so his realization will come as what a true leader when he claims to be the leader of the world, who makes decisions for the world. Surely 27 years would probably bring him some realization of his task that he has as a human being.
Official data shows that the jobless rate in Greece rose to 27.4% in the first quarter of this year, reaching its highest point since 1998. Although EU has decided to help young people to get job, but experts are pessimistic that the decision could respond to 20 million unemployed people.
After a busy two-day high-level summit in Brussels on Thursday, EU leaders decided on measures aimed at helping young people to get jobs as unemployment figures keep soaring in southern countries and long-awaited growth is still not making its presence felt. The measures are meant to promote lending to credit-starved SMEs and curb youth unemployment that in some southern countries is hovering over 60%. With almost 20 million people unemployed in the 27 member states of the EU, critics of yesterday's decision have been describing it as a drop in the ocean. After hours of negotiations, the 27 leaders decided to allocate 6 billion euros over the next 2 years to create new jobs while trimming budget allocations that remained unspent. The original plan was to disburse the amount gradually until 2020, yet it seems a stronger message was needed for a European audience that has been experiencing the side effects of an ailing economy in contraction. Other decisions include a new strategy for the European Investment Bank to start lending more aggressively to small and medium-sized enterprises, especially in southern EU countries where liquidity has largely dried up due to the debt crisis that has been propagating exponentially throughout the southern periphery, while spilling over to the north as well. Negotiators involved clinched the final deal on a 960 billion euros 7-year budget for the period 2014 to 2020, ending months of squabbling and bickering.
As time goes by and people cannot take any additional austerity measures, bold decisions are indeed needed very fast. With 1.5 million unemployed people in the country and more than 60% unemployment rate for the younger ones, yesterday's decision of the ECOFIN to allocate 6 billion euros to youth unemployment is definitely more than welcomed. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Khabar, Athens.
Portuguese trade unions have staged a fresh general strike to protest against austerity measures in Lisbon. Our correspondent has more on the issue.
walking the streets of Lisbon under intense sun and after a whole night of fighting. A few thousand of people demonstrated this Thursday as part of the protest of the general strike, which paralyzed the big part of the country since midnight. The reasons behind this protest seem almost repeated, since its content is multiplied by the voices of those who dare to speak. Overall, protesters demand the government's resignation and that people can decide and be heard. For some, it is their first time here, as if a sudden urge would make them feel the need of coming to the streets to fight for survival. Organized by the main union trade CGTP and by the citizens' movement 15 of October, the two groups promised this demonstration isn't the end of the combat. They reinforce what is happening in other countries of the world and the examples there to be followed. There's no other protests predicted to happen in the future, at least in the summer in the country. We'll have to wait to see what's the government's reaction to this day of fighting organized by the two main union trades in Portugal. Inês Sutil, Shabaka Kebar, Lisbon.
Meanwhile, the Portuguese people say they blame the government's precarious policies for record unemployment levels.
Numbers representing people, young faces which tell the story behind these numbers. One in every five Europeans under 25 years old can't find a job. In Portugal, the proportion is even worse. Sara Simões is 25 years old, and some years ago she would never imagine her life to be how it is today. For those that have a job, normally either it is in a different area from their studies or is badly paid. Rodrigo Rivera is preparing to leave Portugal with his fiancée. After finishing his degree this year, the perspectives to build a career are already made thinking on another country as home. The time spent drawing sketches and projects by Ana Júlia is divided with the time spent on a supermarket. It's her only way to survive and continue her studies. Ana will also leave the country in the autumn. At the present moment, all of them know someone who had to emigrate. That's the story behind a growing number of young people. There are 5.6 million young people unemployed in the European Union. In Portugal, the rate is above 40%, but still distant from Greece, where 63% of youth can find a job. Both numbers seem almost surreal when compared with the 7.5% registered in Germany.
The stories we just heard give us a glimpse of the reality experienced by millions of young people in Portugal. A situation quite distant from the government concerns. As for Europe, in the next 2 days, this Thursday and Friday, the European Union will be gathering to try to find a plan for a solution for this young generation in Europe. Inês Sutil, Shabaka Kebar, Lisbon.
And finally, the U.S. economy grew less than previously estimated as the government slashed its growth estimate for the first quarter of the year. The economy was previously reported to have grown at a rate of 2.4% in the first 3 months of the year, but revised figures released by the Commerce Department showed that gross domestic product, or GDP, expanded at a meager rate of 1.8%. The weaker figures came primarily from revisions to consumer spending, healthcare, exports, and commercial real estate. According to a Gallup poll conducted earlier in June, Americans' outlook on their personal financial situation has also worsened this year, with 29% expecting to be financially worse off a year from now. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of iRyan in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.